Ladies and gentlemen, this week's episode of the Chop Spot is dedicated to my Aunt Judy Dominey, who unfortunately passed away about 2 weeks ago. She was loved by everybody. She was a big fixture of our family. She was always the one with the camera taking photographs, and thank God we did, because now we can look back at those pictures and enjoy her legacy. She leaves behind her husband, my Uncle Jimmy, two kids, Ken and Amanda, grandchildren, and a great-grandchild. And not only that, but her other sibling, my mom, her sister, Jackie, and all of us are going to miss her very much. Her favorite musical artist was actually Elvis Presley. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a lyric from Elvis's song, If I Can Dream. No, I'm not going to sing it. I promise. But the lyric reads like this. If I can dream of a warmer sun with hope shining on everyone. That is what Aunt Judy is now. She is hope shining on all of us from now until the end of eternity. Aunt Judy, we miss you. We love you. Godspeed. Rest in peace. And with that being said, give me two claps and a Ric Flair. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are currently tuned in to the pulse of anything and only everything Atlanta sports. You are tuned in to the Chop Spot, and I am your host, Jay Linderman, welcoming each and every one of you out there in podcast land to our show today. I'm excited as always. Why? Because we're back, and it's great to be back. Sorry we have not been here on the Chop Spot here in the past couple weeks. All I can say is life happens. I had a family emergency last week. My kids, Benny Rico's child, was on spring break. It's hard to get time, but we are definitely back this week. Lots of great news and information to pass along on different sports, different subjects. I'm excited. And this week's episode, folks, we're going to be talking about two sports that are gaining fast in popularity around the nation. Not only that, we're going to go over the NCAA finals, not only for women's, but also for men's, to see who won that and how our brackets looked. We'll quickly go over that. It's Masters Week. Yep. The big golf tournament down at Augusta National begins. Actually, the tournament as of this recording tomorrow, which is Thursday, April the 11th. Take a quick look at the NBA and NHL playoff standings. That also starts this month. Busy month of April, folks. Lots of sports to go around. And later on the show, we're going to go over some, of course, it's the Chop Spot. We got to go over some Atlanta Braves news. So Braves country, I'm going to ask you one thing. I want you all to think about it until we get to that segment. How are our Atlanta Braves doing right now? Yes, I know. There has been a key injury to the starting pitching staff. Can we get over it? I don't know. Well, myself and Renny Rico, we will talk about it. But first things first. First thing we're getting to today. So this past weekend, as I said a minute ago, talking about sports being popular. Well, this past weekend in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WrestleMania 40 occurred up there in the neck of the woods of Mr. Renny Rico, and it was held at Lincoln Financial Field, home of the Philadelphia Eagles. It was a big, grand event, but as I was watching it, I was thinking, wow, there are a ton of people here to see this. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen that many people at a wrestling event. I grew up watching wrestling. I love wrestling. The first superstar I ever remember was Wildfire, Tommy Rich, back in the old Georgia Championship Wrestling, which is a part of the NWA that it still exists, but not nearly as popular as it used to be. And of course, the wrestling business over the years, ups and downs, kind of like Stallone's career, up and down, don't know where it's going. And then, so you get to certain eras. You had the big wrestling 80s boom, spearheaded by Hulk Hogan. You get into the 90s, that was down years there for a few years. Vince McMahon's in trouble, steroids. But then all of a sudden you had the Attitude Era. And pew, skyrocket in flight. Vince McMahon had many afternoon delights during that era, I guarantee you that. Because that Attitude Era was hugely popular, spearheaded not just by Stone Cold Steve Austin, but The Rock, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, DX, you name it, they were there. Then, of course, it falls off, and then he had what was called the PG era, which was spearheaded by John Cena, which he was actually the figurehead for the company, WWE, for at least a decade or more. So popularity wanes during that the whole time, but WrestleMania has always been a staple, and it's always drawn in a huge crowd. But for a while now, it's kind of seems like wrestling has not been a part of popular culture in a long time. At least to me, it doesn't seem like it. Now, I've been in and out of it over the years because there have been years where it's been bad. The talent just wasn't there. Storylines aren't there, so forth. It would be bad, but it would always kind of come back around and then it would go bad again. But right now, the popularity of wrestling is going through the roof. And what I want to do real quick, I want to look at these numbers. And according to this here, WrestleMania broke the previous attendance record set by WrestleMania 39 by 78% over a two-night event. They drew in over 145 million fans. I mean, it was crazy. Crazy numbers here. Okay? Think about it. That's 72 plus. That's what, 72? Good Lord, a night? Wow. And you up the attendance by 78%. That's crazy. They say the day of WrestleMania Sunday, which was night number two, the WWE YouTube channel was watched by 67 million viewers. Wow. And then WrestleMania 40 also became the most socially viewed WrestleMania of all time, with more than 660 million views consumed over the 2 days. Wow. Again, outstanding numbers. These numbers are way higher from anything you would have found 2 to 3 years ago. Because let's face it, once the Attitude Era / PG Era ended, PG Era, like I said, with John Cena, Randy Orton, Dave Bautista, and so forth, they didn't have anywhere to go. But now they got some talent. They had a champion that reigned for what seemed like forever named Roman Reigns, who actually just lost the title at WrestleMania this past Sunday, which I did watch. And yes, I did enjoy it. And yes, it was a great show. But why is wrestling becoming popular again? And here's my theory. I think wrestling is becoming popular again for one, the talent. Two, the storytelling. The three, the presentation that is being brought to the table right now. They just named this new era of wrestling in WWE the Paul Levesque era, also known as the wrestler Triple H. And judging by what I've seen at WrestleMania 40, changing up the camera angles, changing up how the commentary sounds, the presentation overall was fantastic. And they continue doing that and continue telling good stories like they just had this past year with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. The WWE is going to be all right. And with that being said, I'm almost out of breath. I got to do it. I got to bring on my solid all Florida buddy, my brother from another mother, my partner in crime, but most importantly, he is my producer. Folks, give it up for Rennie Rico. Rennie, what's happening, my man?
I think it's only appropriate with WrestleMania weekend just passing that I give a little Ric Flair woo to start it off there myself.
Or you can do a Macho Man. Oh yeah.
No, I'd rather do the woo.
I hear you. So you're up in that neck of the woods of Philly, PA, man. What was the buzz like for WrestleMania this past weekend?
So I'm going to be honest, in person, there was no buzz. I don't even know anyone like personally that actually still watches wrestling. Now there's a caveat there, that might just be to my, solitude nature. I don't really, associate with too many people outside of like my work and you, of course, and a couple random people that I've kept in touch with over the years. But of course, people like you, Jay, I do have a good friend, Chris, who are huge wrestling fans. I was able to reach out to them over the course of the weekend just to get their opinions on, you know, what they felt about what was going on currently. But as far as, you know, hearing about it, it's might just be a nature of who I am as a person. But that being said, I'm online a lot. So it just seemed like that whole atmosphere was extremely excited. It felt like a different level of entertainment and understanding that, you know, this is a new era that I haven't seen before. So it definitely, it made me more excited because I'm a former wrestling fan who has just started to re-enter that arena as well. My heyday mainly was my high school days, which is a long time ago. I graduated in 2002. You're a little older too, though. So yes, the Attitude Era, right around that time period, before John Cena came in, was the time period that I remember this particular time period of my life as far as watching wrestling. It was a good 4 or 5 years. I do remember having close set of friends that, you know, every pay-per-view event that, you know, they had it ordered and it was like, look, open invitation, you come over, we're going to have a good time. I recall watching, you know, a lot of these matches live. I recall even watching the event live that the Owen Hart situation happened. So it definitely has a place in my personal history. Now, that being said, you know, over the course of, you know, many, many years, I fell out of love with it, fell out of touch with it. I wasn't really paying attention other than, you know, knowing who the major characters were. I know who John Cena is. I briefly understood who Roman Reigns was until more recently. So, you know, I kept, you know, an understanding of who the major characters were, but it wasn't really a major aspect of, you know, like my personal friendships with other people. But, you know, to bring it back to today and what happened over the weekend, I was extremely interested just because I recognized that WrestleMania was coming to Philadelphia. It seemed like it was, you know, because I represent the Philadelphia aspect of, you know, this podcast, it definitely increased my interest. And just leading up to the WrestleMania for the past month and a half, I've actually been slowly catching up and understanding what's going on in the storylines and seeing who's who and who is being pushed and, you know, who has fallen off and so on and so forth. I got to understand who Roman Reigns was and, you know, how his storyline, where it took him. Because I wanted to really like...
Well, it was a year-long storyline between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. I mean, because they wrestled against each other in WrestleMania 39 the year before.
I wanted to know the long-term
right
prospect of who he was too and where he came from. And that's an incredible sideline I could take on this subject matter as well, but I'm not going to go into all those details. But how he, you know, created the person that he is today, I started discovering all that, and it really kind of brought me back, and I started to really fall in love with it again. So I watched what I could because I was working all weekend, but I managed to get off of work when the main events were starting, essentially, and I was watching them on my phone. And I was really excited. It was cool to see The Rock back. It was cool to see, you know, the clashing of the two tag teams in main event night one and then main event night two.
Cena came back for a brief moment in night two main event. The Undertaker makes a surprise appearance. When I heard those Undertaker gongs go off, dong, I was like, I think I peed myself.
And that just goes to show, like, that particular situation, like the ending of night two, it just goes to show that fandom doesn't have to necessarily mean that you're watching every day, because I was watching on my phone in the back room at my job, and there was still a bunch of coworkers there that were kind of waiting around for the end of the night to finish off. And they started crowding around me, and they know the major characters. They know who John Cena is. They know who Undertaker is. They know who The Rock is. And they were excited as well. And just to give a cap on what I've been, you know, my whole little spiel right now, just to end some numbers, 75,000 in attendance for night one. I think around the same 75,000 in attendance for night two, which set their record.
I said 75 million. My bad. I just realized.
Well,
that.
Just in attendance, but I think you said that was like online viewership. So you might have been correct in what you were saying. The gate, I believe, and I might be misremembering the numbers, it might be a combined 20 million or it was 20 million each night, but it sounds closer to reality if it was 10 million and then like 8 million the second night. But regardless, it set a record for the gate and revenue achieved. So they certainly set a record there. And then Raw after Mania set another record for viewership. So it certainly seems like they're in a position to be on another incline.
Well, you know, with me being a long-term wrestling fan, I started watching wrestling when I was like 5, 6 years old. Growing up, my dad took me to all the, you know, house show events that would come through Macon, Georgia at the old Macon Coliseum. But wrestling was huge. Like, it was a big part of my childhood. Like, not just the early days of Wild Foul Tommy Rich and those guys, but like Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, the Road Warriors, Sting, all those guys were in the NWA. I mean, I'm NWA for life. NWA, I said. Anywho.
That was WCW, right?
NWO was, yeah. That was during that, right around the time the WWE was having their Attitude Era. The NWO was running roughshod in WCW before they decided to fold. That's a whole nother podcast in itself, by the way.
Yeah, I was always WWE or F for life.
I was on WCW, and I'd go back and forth. I loved it all, man. I mean, I was a wrestling nut. When I was like my son's age, 11, I had all the wrestling figures in the ring, and the Ultimate Warrior was my guy. You needed a translator and an astrologer to figure out what the hell you were saying, but he was fun to listen to.
But that's actually, so my favorite part about the past couple of days is going into on a YouTube and then catching some of the things I missed, but also just reminiscing on some of the things that I've definitely seen previously that have, you know, a historic place in the history of wrestling. There was just some amazing moments with Warrior, with, you know, just everyone that you could possibly name that has a huge name out there. So yeah, absolutely. It's been a good weekend as far as for my personal nostalgia, but I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are coming into it and also just revisiting it as well. So I think we're certainly on an upswing.
Yeah. And like I said, being a lifelong wrestling fan, it is awesome when the sport starts getting popular. It started to get popular about 10 years ago with a wrestler named Daniel Bryan with his, what was called the Yes Movement. And it was a really popular deal. And it was in pop culture. It still is to this day, 10 years later. But unfortunately, that young wrestler got injured. So that whole gravy train ended. But now it seems like it's coming back up, and Cody Rhodes is new champion. You have Damian Priest as the world heavyweight champion. Things are looking up for the WWE, and I'm glad because, like I said, I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. I'd love, love, love to get back into it again.
Well, so, a big thing to mention before like we start going into another subject matter or something.
Hit it.
I know you mentioned Triple H, but specifically about Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H, is that he's the chief content creator now, and he has taken over the creative and the storyline, which is leading into more and more people being excited about a new era of wrestling, because there's been allegations against Vince McMahon. He's no longer with the company. He doesn't have any kind of control over it. He might still have an ownership in it, but he doesn't actually maintain any day-to-day activity in it. And people are actually excited about that too, because some of the allegations against him were kind of ugly, and we're not going to go into detail on that here. But I think people are also looking at that like, all right, well, we're willing to look at this with a new light because they seem to be turning a new corner and where they are from the C-suite as well.
Well, you know, before we move on, the only thing I did not like about WrestleMania 40, although it looked great, the presentation was great, they had some great matches. I mean, there's one or two I didn't care for, but most of all, the matches were really good. But the thing I didn't like the most is that they used that damn Philadelphia green all the time. It looked like I was watching an Eagles game. I mean, it was everywhere. You can't get away from it.
I saw when they did the reveal for the stage, it was like the day or two prior, and I was like, yeah, they got it.
And then they pay homage to the Phillies by using the Liberty Bell and the WrestleMania logo this year.
I mean, they're paying respect to the city that they're playing into. They're playing into the crowd.
We'll get to the Phillies a little bit later, by the way.
Did you happen to see Rock's promo on Raw where he called the Philadelphians trailer trash?
I did. Didn't he say he was late to a press conference because he was busy watching Jaden Hurts lose playoff games?
Yeah. So he's lost a notch or two on my nostalgia belt there. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hey, The Rock coming back for WrestleMania was awesome. It was the first time he was in the ring for 11 years. The man's been in awesome shape for as long as we've seen him on screen. I mean, the dude's huge, man. But you know what? He played a great villain. You know, he took the moniker of the final boss, and he lived up to it. So good for The Rock, man.
Yeah, but he's gonna take a little break. He'll be back.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you know what else is? But you know what's back though? Pro wrestling. It's back, baby.
Yeah, feels good. I'm gonna definitely keep paying attention now.
Absolutely. Well, speaking about popularity and sports on the popularity rise, let's move over to another one. Let's move over to the women's NCAA basketball championship. And wow, you talk about setting records, Rennie. Now, first off, okay, I've watched college women's college basketball before, but never in my life like I did over the past week or so. And it's not just because of the all-world player from Iowa, Caitlin Clark. It was, to me, good basketball. Defense was played. Big-time players made big shots, stood up, did what they had to do. You don't get that all the time in the sport. And that's why I loved it. And when it comes back, it is going to be more popular than ever next season. Rennie, what do you think? Did you see any of it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when it comes to the women's side of the NCAA tournament, I have had heard more about it this particular season and year than any time in the past. Caitlin Clark has a huge part to do with it. Of course, Angel Reese. But just overall, the respect that, you know, that they think they, I think that they willingly deserve, has been being shown to them. And that's, you know, it's a new step in the right direction. You know, they play just as hard. And you know what? They're just as skilled as well. I mean, we're not going to go into any kind of crazy men versus women conversation, I don't think. But, you know, they deserve their flowers. They play, you know, their hearts out. And, you know, they love the sport too. So they deserve the respect that has been given to them. And I think that it's an amazing thing to see. And it was really exciting for a lot of people. I think it got just as much attention as the men's side.
Absolutely. Mean,
of course, the men's side is, yeah, if not more. But of course, the men's side is always going to have a huge percentage of attention being paid to it. But hey, look, I got to say, the women's was equal, it feels like, this year at least.
I hear you. Look, I was thinking about this too, about the great players and people in women's college basketball. And there's been some great ones. Go back to Cheryl Miller, outstanding high school player that went to USC and was outstanding. Actually scored 100 points in a high school game. That's actually Reggie Miller's sister, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. You had people like Diana Taurasi, Cheryl Swoops back in the day, Lisa Leslie. Rebecca Loba, there's a big time list. And the late great college coach for Tennessee, Pat Summitt, set all sorts of NCAA coaching records. I honestly don't think she doesn't get the recognition that she deserves. I know that Tennessee named their basketball court after her, which is, you know, well deserved. But now, even though you had those players and figureheads, it just seems like people are now like, the popularity of it's like, oh, this is good basketball. This is good for the sport. So I think it's awesome that women's college basketball is carried on, because, I mean, I saw a meme the other day, and it was a picture of the Iowa Hawkeyes' home court, their home gym, right? First game of the season back in, I believe it was early November. There was like six people there. You know what I mean? More people went to the premiere of Battlefield Earth than go to see Iowa Hawks, Lady Hawkeyes play.
It's a blast from the past.
No kidding. Right? I don't know why I thought about that movie. Movie sucks ass. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Travolta with dreadlocks. No, thank you. But anywho. But there was literally nobody there in that gym to watch them. And then you go and look at the Final Four in the championship, and there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And it's just a cool thing to see a sport grow like that. But check this out, Rennie. Check out these numbers. The final game, the NCAA Women's College Basketball Championship, averaged about 18.7 million viewers. And it peaked at a massive 24 million. Now, that's combined between the two networks of ESPN and ABC. Which, check this out. It makes this the first time that the women's championship outdrew the men's championship in ratings. By the way, the men's basketball championship was between the UConn Huskies and the Purdue Boilermakers, and it averaged 14.82 million between the two Turner stations, TBS and TNT. I mean, 14.82 isn't bad, but I mean, at one point, the women's game outdrew the men's by 10 million.
What was the number? The first number for the women's? You said I didn't.
Yeah, the game averaged about 18.7 million.
Oh wow!
Viewers.
Okay, so wow. Yeah.
And then at the peak of viewership, it was bringing in 24 million.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the men's topped out at 14 and change.
Now, how much of that do you think is because of Caitlin Clark being a draw and them wanting to see her finish it out?
I think that is a big thing because Caitlin Clark set the NCAA basketball scoring record, beat the late, great Pistol Pete Maravich, who's held the record for ages. So I think that was a little bit to do with it, yes. Are these numbers going to be big this big next year? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see in November when the season starts back to see if the people are going to come back with them. So we have to wait and see. But they got some good players. The star player for UConn, the Lady Huskies. What's her name? Buechler, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's hard to pronounce. I saw it written out.
I'm sorry. I'm bad with names. I am. I can barely spell my last name half the time. Anywho. I mean, UConn's going to be good again. South Carolina defending champs. I think they've got some players coming back. USC's got a star player, the Lady Trojans. So I think women's college basketball is actually in a really good spot, much like we were talking about with the WWE a few minutes ago. However, Rennie, we're going to stick with basketball right quick, like, and let's take a look at the March Madness final on the men's NCAA championship game. Now, my final four, if everybody remembers, consisted of UConn and Purdue, two teams that made the final game. Then I also had Arizona, which I believe lost in the Sweet 16, typical of a Pac-12 team, if you ask me. Probably why that conference is completely dissolving now. Anywho, and the fourth one was an SEC team in Texas A&M. I had no idea that my boys from Bama would make the Final Four, which congratulations, boys, because you made the first Final Four in school history. Too bad you lost. It's okay, though, because you lost to a very, very, very good UConn team. And UConn took on Purdue in the final game. And Rennie, check this out. I had Purdue and UConn in the final game. Not only that, I had UConn winning by 12, if everybody recalls. But guess what? UConn won by 15, so I was really close.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I wasn't anywhere near the mark.
How did your Final Four come out?
Mine,
I mean, I got two out of four.
Read this thing. It looks like I got... I definitely had UConn going all the way.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, but I had Gonzaga going... to the final championship as well.
I got you.
I think I have... All right, so this is how I read it. I got UConn, Gonzaga, and then I had GCU and Texas A&M. So I was way off.
It happens.
But of course, as I mentioned, you know, I don't know much about each individual team, and I definitely said that it was going to be more of a crapshoot for me.
Well, not everybody can be awesome and handsome at the same time, Rennie.
Well, hey, what was your final points though on your bracket?
I got to pull it up, but the last time I looked, that was over 52%.
Okay, I got 580 points.
580 Easy. Points.
Yeah.
All right.
16.2 million.
So what's the bet?
You know what? We never decided.
We never stipulated, did we?
Yeah, how about we just, it's just a gentleman's honor. we knew that you were going to probably whip my ass just because you know way more about it than I do.
And how many points did you have again?
580.
Are you sure you don't want to bet? Are you sure?
I mean, there's not, I don't,
I mean, I need cars washed. I need laundry done. We have hardwoods that need to be stained.
What's
I scored 1,230.
Well, I mean,
now this is according to the NBA. This is according to the ESPN Tournament Challenge app.
Yeah, that's what I got. That's what I'm on.
Okay.
What was your rank?
Hey, wipe that brow, buddy, because you didn't bet. So,
what was your rank?
It was like probably like 1.3 million something.
I'm 16.2 million.
All right, yeah, let me look here. I'm 1.6 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I had UConn and Purdue in the final game. So, anyway, congratulations to both the South Carolina Lady Gamecocks and the UConn Huskies for winning their respective championships. It was a very good March Madness this year, but it was made particularly special by the women's game taking that step up in popularity. And real quick, folks, I got to do a little side promo before we move forward here. We recorded our last show a couple weeks ago, and the day after that, I had the privilege to go on a sports radio morning show in Macon, Georgia, with our old buddy Steve Norris. If you recall, Steve was on our very first episode of the Trot Spot where we talked a little bit about Braves history. Well, I got to go on his show in Macon, Georgia with him and his buddy Daniel, and we had an outstanding time. The show is called Creekside Sports, and you can find it on The Creek 100.9 FM down in Macon, Georgia. Hope to have Steve on again, Rennie, really soon. What do you think?
Oh, that'd be great. He was on episode one, and you know we left him an open invitation to come back whenever he wants.
Well, I think we need to call him the professor.
Yeah.
Because he's got way more knowledge than that guy.
Let's give him a good nickname. That's
yeah,
cool.
Well, if I not like that one, you know, maybe, he listens to us, so maybe he can help us out. But anyway, Creekside Sports, again, on The Creek, 100.9 FM in Macon, Georgia.
Check now, it out.
Absolutely check it out. So, another big event here in April, Rennie. It's a busy month in sports, like I said at the top today.
Yeah.
But this week...
You get a little lull, and then, you know, then it all comes back.
Oh, February sucks. February is horrible. I mean, nothing against hockey. I love hockey. But it's just not, you know, when that's all you got. That's like in July. All you have is baseball. Love baseball. But sometimes you want a variety. Not kidding. Anywho. This week is the start of the Masters Week at Augusta National in Augusta, Georgia. Of course, the big golf tournament is watched by millions and millions and millions around the world. And we got to touch on it because, one, it is a huge deal down in my neck of the woods, Rennie. Those golfers going for that green jacket. People love going to the Masters. Even the people who hate golf watch the Masters. I, for one, to be honest, don't know I'm not going to say not a damn thing, but not much about golf. Not nearly as much as I used to. And this has come from someone that worked at a golf course all throughout high school. How I know, right? Anywho, so I was pulling up some Master stuff here and looking at some odd-on favorites to win. And let's take a look at a few expert picks. So maybe whoever's going to Augusta National this weekend can check them out. So the odds-on favorite right now, Rennie, is Scottie Scheffler. At plus 460, and he's actually the overwhelming favorite. It'd be interesting to see. I do know a little bit about Scottie Scheffler. He's played well for the past few years now. He's really made a name for himself. John Rahm's another guy. That's actually another expert pick I saw today. And speaking of other expert picks, while we're on it, Brooks Koepka is another odds-on favorite, according to sports writer and golf analyst Tory Barron. Another person from the Golf Channel, Elizabeth Ball, has picked Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy is someone I have not heard from in a long time. I don't know about you, Rennie. Have you ever heard of old Rory?
Yeah,
he was supposed to take over the popularity of Tiger Woods at one point.
Yeah, I think he's maintained some consistency. You know, he's been there the whole time. He's one of the names I hear floating around. I'm not a huge golf fanatic either, but I used to watch it with my dad, and I hear more people talk about that every once in a while.
I hear you. And, excuse me. And like I said, the odds on favorite Scottie Scheffler, and his name is all over the place as far as expert picks. John Rahm's another one in there, like I said. So I don't know if you got any gamblers out there. It sounds like Scottie Scheffler is the person you need to go with. But I mean, seriously, when was the last time the odds-on favorite at the Masters actually won? I mean, and I'm just asking because I don't know. So why don't you guys hook us up on our Facebook page, The Chop Spot. Look for our blue microphone logo. And if you do drop us a line, please use the hashtag The Chop Spot so we can get this thing trending on the interwebs. So the Masters, round one starts Thursday, April the 11th. It will conclude Sunday evening. On April, what's the date here? Sorry. I'm reading in the dark here. It ends on Sunday, April the 14th. I'll do my best to keep up with it, Rennie, but I haven't watched golf in a really long time, and I'm just being 100% honest.
Well, we'll know the results by the next time we record, so absolutely, we'll have more information.
So, all right, Braves country, we're almost there. We're almost to our Atlanta Braves news, but right now we got to touch on some NBA and NHL, and I'm going to tell you why we have to touch on it. Their playoffs start this month as well. The NBA playoffs begin on April the 20th. The NHL begins on April the 18th. So right around the corner, roughly week and a half away for either sport. And what we're going to do right now, Rennie, we're going to take a look at the Eastern Conference standings and the Western Conference standings so we can see where our teams are at heading into the playoffs that are getting ready to begin. Are you ready, my friend?
I am ready.
All right. Let's hit it. Well, the last few times we got together and we're going on to the NBA, the Boston Celtics have been the number one team in the Eastern Conference. Guess what? Nothing has changed. They're still the number one team in the Eastern Conference, and they're a 14-game lead on the Milwaukee Bucks, who have played a little bit better under Doc Rivers. They're not great, but they've gotten a little bit better. Coming in at number three sees the New York Knicks, followed by the Orlando Magic, who are actually tied with the Cleveland Cavaliers for the 4-5 seed, and then that all-important 6th seed to avoid the NBA playoff tournament is the Indiana Pacers. And they hold a 1-game lead, who is in the 7th spot, your Philadelphia 76ers, Rennie, and at the 8th seed, the Miami Heat, followed by the Chicago Bulls, and of course, in the 10th seed, the seed that they have been in for about 99.9% of the season, the number 10 seed, the Atlanta Hawks. So the Atlanta Hawks are going to have to win 2 play-in tournament games just to play the Boston Celtics in the first round. You talk about the slaughter for the Lamb. However, Rennie, I got to tell you this. There's a bright side for Hawks fans to all this madness. The Hawks just beat the Celtics twice in 1 week, 2 weeks ago, and they looked really good doing it. But, So I'm just saying, there's a slimmer shred of hope, but not really. I don't even know if the Hawks are going to get to the 8 seed spot, but it is what it be. Is there any word on your Sixers, man? How are the fans feeling up there?
Listen, we're on a 6-game win streak, buddy. And
there you go.
Joel Embiid's back. He was probably one of the first professional sports players ever come back on his injury timeline as originally stated. And he's definitely earning what should be his MVP status, but of course he's not going to be eligible. But it just goes to show he's the most valuable player on the team because they're making a nice turnaround. They're looking nice defensively. And, you know, we're, like I said, 6 games in a row. So we'll see how it goes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Maybe we'll put together a nice run. I'd hate to see another playoff run where it just ends, you know, like a middling, you know, second round knockout. Fans just hate to see that. Either, you know, don't do it or go all the way. That's where we're at right now.
I feel you, man. And the Atlanta Hawks, in the meantime, have actually, dare I say, started to play defense. Yes, out of nowhere, the Atlanta Hawks have started playing defensive basketball. And yes, they are still without their star guard, Trae Young. And they have gone with a record of 14-11 since Trae Young has been out. So there's a lot of news and rumors floating around the ATL, Rennie. Are the Hawks better with or without Trae Young? I'm going to answer that right now. Are you ready for my answer? Check this out. The Atlanta Hawks are better with Trae Young. I know he's a defensive liability. He's not that great defensively. But, man, the dude can make plays and make everybody better around him. I'm not saying that DeJounte Murray, our current star guard, not saying DJ Murray can't do that. But if you ask me, Trae Young is better at that than DJ Murray. Not only that, he's the current face of the franchise. So the Hawks have an offseason with a lot of big decisions to make. Trae Young, DJ Murray, because I guarantee you now they're not going to keep them both. That is for sure. But whatever you do, please keep number one, Jalen Johnson. I love him. He's phenomenal. Breakout season for that young kid. So before we move on, let's take a look at the Western Conference standings real quick. Like number one seed, Minnesota Timberwolves. They are actually still tied. Wow. Every time we've gone over these results for the past three times, the Wolves and the Nuggets have been tied at the top of the Western Conference. Wouldn't you know? But one
consistency.
Game. Consistently good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Unlike, you know, the Hawks or any other Atlanta team, except for maybe the Braves. Anywho, we'll move on. Number three seed, only one game behind them, was the Oklahoma City Thunder. Four seed, the Clippers. Five seed, the Mavericks. Six seed, that all-important six seed, New Orleans Pelicans. They have a one-game lead over the seven seed of Phoenix Suns. Followed by them is the Sacramento Kings. Number nine, Los Angeles Lakers. And then that final 10 spot looks like it's going to be held by the Golden State Warriors because they have a five-game lead on the 11-seeded Houston Rockets. And when I look at this Western Conference, it is wide the hell open for the first time in a while. Normally, the Western Conference kind of overpowers the East. So I'm going to make a bold prediction for the NBA Finals, Randy. Are you ready? Check this out. I'm going to roll out of the Western Conference with the New Orleans Pelicans. They're getting hot at the right time. Zion Williamson has had an excellent season. CJ McCollum, when he's healthy, has shot the ball well. Brandon Ingram has played well. Backup former Georgia Tech guard Jose Alvarado for the Pelicans has played really well. He's actually a big fan favorite from what I was told. So I'm going with the Pelicans out of the West, and I haven't made up my mind about the East. Of course, the Celtics have a big lead, but I know we'll wait and see. But I am going to go with that bold prediction with the Pelicans out of the West, Rennie. What do you think?
I like it. You know what? I used to live in Louisiana. I don't necessarily have a Western team, so the Pelicans go. That'd be cool. I think Zion needs to earn his money, and you know he needs to pay for them baby mamas he's been racking up. So,
you're talking about skills to pay the bills. He's going to use every single one of them now.
You know what? Though I actually really like Zion. I've caught a couple of his interviews, and he's a really funny and outspoken man. And,
just planting seeds everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Just like John Holmes.
Yes, exactly. No, I like it. So I'll go cool with that. And of course, on the Eastern side, I'm going to be a homer, and I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe the Sixers pull it together and pull some kind of miraculous run out their ass, and we'll see them in the finals.
Well, the Miami Heat out of the East last year were an 8 seed, and they were able to get to the NBA Finals last year. So, and can the Nuggets win 2 back to back? We shall see.
Yeah, and listen, like, come on, we should know this by now that number 1 seed, top team, it doesn't mean shit. I mean, right. Come on, bro. Like, you know this more than anything. I don't even need to go into it. And if you get into the playoffs, you have a chance. So, true. We'll see how it plays out.
Absolutely. Now, the NBA playoffs begin on April the 20th, and the other playoffs we're going to mention right quick, like before we move to some Brave stuff. The NHL, let's talk some puck real quick. Eastern Conference, number one team is Boston Bruins, followed by the Florida Panthers, Toronto Maple Leafs, Tampa Bay Lightning. All those teams are making the playoffs. The other two teams out of the East, the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Out in the Western Conference, you're going to have the Stars, Avalanche, Jets, Predators, oh yeah, and the Canucks and the Oilers. Now, what I'm going to look at real quick is the wild card standings, because that is what's going to be most important. Those teams I just read you are in the playoffs. So here's how it looks. In case you don't know, there are six divisions and two conferences in the NHL, and each division. So there's three in the East, three in the West. Each division, the top three teams make the playoffs, and then you add in two more wild cards. So this is what we're looking like. Out of the Atlantic in the Eastern Conference, the Bruins, Panthers, and the Maple Leafs are 1, 2, and 3. And with as many games that's left to play in the regular season, it looks like it's going to stay that way. Metropolitan Division out in the East, the Rangers, Hurricanes, and Islanders. Islanders have made a streak, by the way. They've had a good season. They're actually on a 5-game winning streak right now. Anyway, it looks like it's going to remain like that as well. And then the two wild cards right now is the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Washington Capitals. However, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Detroit Red Wings are only one game behind the Capitals for that final wild card spot in the East. And your Philadelphia Flyers, Rennie, They are only 2 points out. 2 points. Hey, all they got to do is get a win and a loss by the Caps, and they are tied, my friend. So yeah, your boys are still in.
My boys are trying everything they can to not even be in playoff contention. We're on an 8-game losing streak, and, you know, this is not the right time.
Well, there's still about a week or so left in regular season. Maybe they'll catch some fire. You know what I mean? Not that I care. I've never liked the Flyers. I'm just saying. My team, the Flames, suck. They've been out for the past month and a half. They went ice fishing 2 months ago.
Yeah, they're already planning their vacations.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of the Flames, let's move over to the Western Conference real quick. Like, top three teams in the Central Division in the West, the Stars, the Avalanche, and the Jets. And it looks like that could possibly stay the same. However, the Jets are only 2 points behind the Avalanche. Out in the Pacific Division, the Canucks, Oilers, and Kings. That looks like that's going to stay the same. And then the two wild cards out in the Western Conference, the Nashville Predators and the Vegas Golden Knights. And that looks like that could stay where that is at as well. As far as my Calgary Flames, right now they're sitting at a whopping 75 points, which is not good. So the Flames are heading into their second straight offseason of rebuild. Hey, NHL's season closing down, NBA season closing down. Lots more to talk about when we get to those sports as we hit up more episodes down the road. Rennie, are you ready to talk some baseball?
Let's do it.
You ready to talk about a little Braves and Phillies rivalry action? or are you still crying over games that the Braves won up in Philly in the opening series? We took 2 of 3, baby.
Took 2 of 3. You did. I made sure I sent you that text immediately when it happened so that, you know, we can bury that right away. I knew that it was going to be mentioned in the podcast. I understand.
I know. That just means I'm up in our bet.
Yeah, I know.
You know, for the regular season matchups of Braves and Phillies. Now, I don't even think we play again until June. So
yeah, it's going to be a little bit. So we have some time to get our...
Well, I'm pretty sure that's going to be in Atlanta. If it's in June, if I think about it, I'm already sweating. I mean, it is humid.
Yeah.
Not kidding. Like, you could drink the air some nights. It's horrible. Put a toe outside and you're sweating all over your body. It's crazy.
I lived in that area for a while. I remember. It sucks.
Oh, I know. But so thus far, Rennie, to start the season, the Atlanta Braves have looked good.
Yeah, you guys are looking good. I'll give you your flowers. You open up the season the right way.
Absolutely. Now, as of right now, which is a Wednesday night, this episode will probably come out tomorrow or the next day, but as of right now, Wednesday night, April the 10th, the Braves are sitting at 7-3. Now, they were supposed to play tonight, but it was postponed due to bad weather in our area, which has been raining here for like 2 days straight now. Surprised they even got the game in last night. But they do have a businessman special on Thursday, April the 11th, 2024. Well, they will host the Mets in game 4 of their 4-game series. And I love businessman special. That means the game is early. This game starts on Thursday, April 11th at 2:20 p.m. noon start, noon-ish. And I love afternoon baseball. It gives me something up on the TV when I'm working during the day. So I'll definitely have it on my tube. But as far as the Atlanta Braves overall.
Isn't that something normal for your area?
What's that?
Like afternoon games? Because I feel like every time when I'm driving to work in the middle of baseball season, there's usually a game on. It's always around 2 o'clock. I just feel like.
Well, I think it's normal. More. Well, you know, back in the day, I mean, that's all they did was play afternoon ball. It's not like, you know. Back in the day, Polo Grounds and Ebbets Field didn't have stadium lights to play night ball like they do now. Hell, Wrigley Field didn't get their stadium night lights until the late 80s. I think it was 1988. So that whole time, the Cubs at home always played afternoon ball. But nowadays, it seems like they're getting more and more on the afternoon ball bandwagon. The Braves normally do one if they have like a 4-game series, and normally if it's at home, that last game of the 4-game series is an afternoon game so they can get the hell out of Dodge and go to the next city. So that's what the Braves are doing tomorrow. Now, as far as what's going on the field, our lineup 1 through 9, Rennie, is big. It is monstrous. It is high caliber, high speed, full metal jacket, balls to the wall kind of offense. And I am super excited to watch them anytime one of my boys comes up to the plate, that ball could fly out of the park. However, the Braves have a problem starting pitching. And here's the biggest problem with that. Star pitcher Spencer Strider, number 99, who's our opening day starter, if you recall, is out for the season.
Oof.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they've officially said out for the season, but he pulled his, I think it was his UHL or UHC.
He pulled his vagina bone.
That's the Rico special. Okay, thanks. I was going to say the same thing about Nola because he's throwing wiffle balls.
Go on.
But so Strider is out. Well, it looks like it's going to be the rest of the season. So the big buzz around Atlanta is, does our general manager, AA Alex Anthopoulos, does he pull the trigger and make a trade and get somebody else in here? The name Trevor Bauer keeps floating around, but local radio stations are saying there's no way in hell that's going to happen, but who knows? But Spencer Strider is not the only problem with the starting pitching. Max Fried, Mad Max, has not looked well. He's out there throwing watermelons. Charlie Morton pitched awesomely his first game, came out second game. I mean, pitched pretty good. And then, but not as well as the first game. But then we have this new guy, Ronaldo Lopez, who actually pitched yesterday and pitched a really good game. So they're looking at him pretty hard too. I, for one, think that they need to make some sort of a trade to get another starter, because the only other pitcher, two pitchers I can think of that they could pull up would be Bryce Elder and AJ Smith Shawver, the same two guys from last year that I've talked about before. So we shall see. But the Braves starting pitching, they've got some problems. Rennie, the Phillies, the first 2 weeks of the season. How's it looking on your end?
Well, we're second behind you. We're 6-6. I mean, it's not the greatest record, but it's still 500. You know, I think the boys are they're showing up. They're hitting, you know, in their spots. You know, we can do a little better. It's hard to say. I feel like one of the common practices with this particular team is that they always kind of start like this. I don't ever feel like they really hit the ground running the majority of these, at least these past few years with this core team. So I'm not really ready to give any kind of judgment on what I'm seeing. They're not failing, but they're also not, you know, showing any, you know, serious excellence, which, you know, maybe they're just going to save it for the time when it matters the most, which is beating you guys in the wild card.
Oh, Lord. Man, it is only April. You're pulling that nonsense out already.
Just saying. We did it 2 years in a row.
It's April. It's April. The look on your face right now is like the look on your face, the smirk you just gave. Oh my God, I wish y'all could see it.
But here's the thing, Jay.
No, you just gave me the Vince McMahon smirk, as in I know what I'm talking about, bitch.
Let's clear the air here.
Okay.
You could be excited all you want that you guys are starting out hot, and you guys had what, 2-7 run innings on us, 2 games in a row or something like that to take the lead. But it's not how you start. It's how you finish, Jay. And the track record for the past couple of years clearly shows that we are doing something right at the end of the year rather than at the beginning of the year. So why get excited? Why get upset? You know, it's a long season. I'm going to see how it plays out. Your boy's got a funny elbow, so he's not coming back. You got pitching issues. So, I mean, worry about what you got to worry about on your side. And, you know, over the course of the year, I'll worry about what I got to worry about.
I'll say this right now. Our bullpen is better than yours.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it plays out.
I will say this, though. The Mets in game one of the series this week, the bullpen was getting hit a lot. But then again, I think that they were kind of tired. Over the last weekend, the Braves and their home opener, their home series opener, they played the Arizona Diamondbacks, and then they swept them. With two of those wins were dramatic come-from-behind victories. I was able to see the end of both those games, and it was awesome, especially since the game was at home. But just before that, the Braves were in Chicago to take on the White Sox, where they're supposed to play a 3-game series. However, that third game was rained out. But the Braves won game one, White Sox won game two. And just before that, we just talked about it. I don't want to say any more because I don't want to make Rennie cry and pee his pants, but or going to stick his thumb in the corner. But, you know, the Braves beat the Phillies 2-3. And talking about, you know, starting once you finish, man, I should tell that to my wife. But overall, the Braves look great. Austin Riley looked like he had a bunch of rust on him when he first came out. But Ronnie, you can tell he's trying to get the feel as far as hitting the ball, but he is running like a racehorse out there around the bases. Ozzie Albies is off to a fantastic start swinging the bat. Like I said, Austin Riley, so-so. Matt Olson's hit some dingers. Ozuna's hit some dingers. Arcia's starting to come through in the clutch, but the guy I've got my eye on, even though they're platooning him out in left field, is Jared Kelenic, because that dude was batting 065 in spring training up until the last week of spring training, hit a home run in his last at bat in spring training. Now he's up in the bigs and he's raking. So get my eye on him. He's going to be a fun one to watch. And all I can say right now, Rennie, is that I'm very glad I did not order my Spencer Strider Braves jersey.
It must be fate. Who you got upcoming in the season? I mean, in the next couple of weeks, schedule-wise.
Sure. Let's pull that up here. Like I said, they are in the about to finish up a four-game series with the Mets this week. But then this weekend, the Braves are heading down to Miami to take on the hapless Miami Marlins. They are not very good. I don't know what's going on down there in Miami. But whew, they looked atrocious out the gate. And then from there, the Braves will travel to Texas to take on the Houston Astros at the beginning of next week. That series begins Monday, April the 15th, and it will go through the 16th and 17th. So that's what's coming up with the Braves in the next week. That Astros series is always going to be entertaining because that's a rematch of the 21 World Series. But then after that Astros series, they come home to take on the defending champ, Texas Rangers. So I don't know. Maybe we can get in more of that next week. What do you think? You think the Phillies are going to be all right this coming up week? Anything big you're waiting on?
Yeah, we got a 10-game stretch at home. We got Pirates, we got Rockies, and we got White Sox. You know, we'll see. We get a chance to rest, you know, in our own hometown. No traveling around. Maybe they can address some things that they, you know, that they might need to address. But it's still too early in the season to really be making any kind of strong statements about what needs to be fixed and what doesn't. I need to see more of a more common denominators, or I'm trying to think of some particular terminology, but I need to see more essentially to get a better idea of what we need to fix. It's, you know, it's 12 games in a really long season.
Well, some quick stats real quick. The leading the Braves in home runs right now is actually our DH, Marcell Ozuna. He's already hit 5 bombs with 13 ribbies. That's pretty amazing. First baseman Matt Olson, who led the National League in home runs last year, already has 3 home runs with 9 ribbies. Not too shabby. Like I said, Austin Riley got off to a rough start, but he was able to bring his average up over the past two series up to 286. Michael Harris is playing very well and hitting very well too, batting 350. Shortstop Arcia batting 385. Reigning NL MVP Ronald Acuna Jr. is batting 256. Unfortunately, Ronnie does not have any home runs as of yet. The Braves did have an injury a few weeks ago to catcher Sean Murphy, but veteran Travis d'Arnaud has been able to step in and to platoon with him at catcher. They brought up a youngster named Chadwick Trump, who does not have any hits. So who knows what they're doing. And Adam Duvall, he's only played in 4 games, so still more to come from him. And guess what, Braves fans, people out there in Braves country, that's pretty much going to wrap it up for us. You know what I mean? I mean, we're out of here faster than the Virgin on prime night, Rennie.
We're wrapping up, but hold up 1 second.
Whoa, uh-oh.
We are a sports podcast.
Here we go.
And we're going to keep this real short. We didn't even mention the top controversy that's going on in the MLB right now.
Hit it.
Which is the boy, Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei.
Whatever. Getting hit with serious allegations of potential gambling.
Well, as of right now, I bet you he took the over on how many games he's going to play in the first month. Ohtani's involved, man. I don't care what anybody says. You do not give a friend that many millions. I don't like giving people $5, let alone $5 million.
You know what I mean? We just had to throw it in there. There's no way we could go to this whole podcast and at least not mention that.
Oh, story. I know, but you know, I mean, his interpreter.
Yeah, it's what's his name? Ippi. Some names I get in trouble trying to say. So I'm
probably
just
another name you'd mispronounce, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's spelled like Ippi or Ippi, but I can't pronounce it for the life of me.
Well, I'm bad at names too. Apparently, don't worry, my friend.
His translator's responsible. That's one of the funniest blame stories I've ever seen.
I know. Well, I'll bet you cash money he gets in trouble. He gets in trouble with it later. So,
ugh.
Oh man. Oh, Shohei. Anywho, folks, just like I was saying, just like a virgin on prime night, we are out of here. It's been an amazing episode right here on the Chop Spot. We had a lot of news, a lot of popularity contests between women's basketball and WWE. It's been a lot of fun. Had a lot of Braves information and insight. So, Rennie Rico, my friend, just like every time we get together, it's been an honor and privilege, and I am excited to get together again next week. What do you think?
Absolutely. More Braves news, more Philly news. Hopefully we're up some more.
I hope not. I hope y'all are in the basement, but you know what? The Miami Marlins have that locked right now. Trust me. Trust me. Look at their record. I don't know what's going on there, but it's not good. All right, folks. I am Jay Linderman, and for Jay, for Rennie Rico here on the Chop Spot, we'd like to thank you all for tuning in to us tonight. It's been a wonderful, funny show, and I cannot wait to do this again next week. And for Rennie Rico and myself, we are here to tell everybody to stay safe and to stay badass. Good night, America.
Oh yeah.